The time is now to open your eyes and see what's inside you. The time is now to raise up your voice and sing of His glory.
The coronavirus epidemic outbreak is affecting our world on medical and financial and political levels more than any challenge we have ever seen in my lifetime. Are you worried, anxious, afraid? Are you worried of losing your living? Or losing a loved one, or even losing your own life? In light of the far-reaching ramifications of the coronavirus pandemic, if you're worried, that's understandable. But God has reassurances for all our fears today. Our God is a God of miracles. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the good news is, He always keeps His promises. You know, we began a new sermon series last week entitled, Lord, We Need a Miracle. And today we're going to continue with that theme. And the message this morning is entitled, Before We Run Out of Everything. Lord, we need a miracle before we run out of everything. From the stories in the Bible, we're learning how to have faith to face these trying times. Sometimes you don't know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. Could that be why God sometimes allows shortages and deficiencies and a lack in our life? If I were to ask you, what are you lacking today? What would you say? Now, and I don't mean toilet paper. What would it be? If I asked you, what are you lacking today? Would you say, I need more courage? I need more money? I need more love? I need more direction in my life to what to do in these difficult times? Or would you say, I need more faith? In today's message, we're going to look at the things that cause people to feel hopeless in times like these. We'll do that by looking at the life of a man named Elijah. And you heard his story in 1 Kings 17 in the scripture lesson that we read this morning. And in that lesson, it teaches us lessons on how God wants to do miracles when there are things that are happening in our lives that cause us to lack what we need. And so that's what I want to do this morning. Let me give you a little background of the story that we read. You see, the government had become bankrupt in Elijah's day, and the nation is in recession. Sounds a lot like what's going on in our world today. And the Bible tells us that the current king and queen were the worst of the previous kings and queens. Before them, there were 19 other kings and queens, and yet these were the worst. They were named Ahab and Jezebel. And the reason why they were so bad, not only were they terrible leaders politically and economically, but spiritually, they got rid of the worship of God and they brought in a false god, a pagan god, an idol called Baal. And they established Baal as the official religion of Israel. So now, the Jewish nation had a new God. And therefore, God sent Elijah as a prophet to go confront King Ahab. And what Elijah told the king and queen was a terrifying message for them turning away from the true God. Elijah says to Ahab and to Jezebel, because of your wickedness, because you've led the nation to worship false gods, I'm not going to let it rain anymore in this country until I, the prophet of God, says so. Now, this message did not sit well with Ahab. In fact, he and his wife Jezebel, they were furious for what the prophet had to say. And they put a price on Elijah's head. They said, we're going to kill you for having this bad news. They authorized bounty hunters and assassins to find Elijah and to kill him. And Elijah, he began to flee for his life. He was on the run for his life. I don't know, but maybe you feel that way in this coronavirus outbreak. On the run from something that's after you. Afraid of something trying to sneak up on you to kill you. And during the time of Elijah's running, God did some miracles for Elijah and taught some lessons to Elijah that you and I need today. God wants us to learn the same thing that Elijah had to learn. So let's let God teach us in this message this morning. For the first year of the drought, God took Elijah to a place called Kareth. And then the Lord said, this is what the scripture said, then the Lord said to Elijah, go east and hide in the Kareth ravine east of the Jordan. The Kareth brook will give you fresh water to drink, and I've commanded ravens to come and bring you food there every day. You see, the first experience in Elijah's journey of faith is this ravine, the Kareth ravine. Kareth was a place and a time of separation. What is a ravine? Well, it's simply a narrow, long gorge recess in the earth. A ravine is dark and it's lonely, and Elijah was sent there to hide. What is going on in this story? God has a plan for Elijah, but he said, first, you need time alone. You need time to focus on me. You need to develop your inner life. And doesn't God often do that? Doesn't God often use his private darkness in your life to prepare you for other days when he wants to give you light? Maybe I need to ask you, do you need a time of being alone with God? Do you need a time to get closer to God? Well, during this time that Elijah's in this lockdown experience, God supernaturally provided for him in a very unusual way. He has birds bring food over the top of the ravine and drop it in. Now, that's not exactly gourmet food, friends, because where do birds get their food? Often it's off the plates of other people. So for a year, Elijah's eating leftovers in this, you could say, stay-at-home experience, and his only support is what God is doing to keep him alive. Remember, you don't know God is all you need until everything is taken away and God is all you've got. But if we look in verse 7, it says, even while he was here in this ravine being fed by the birds, that the brook dried up. Some of you right now are in a situation where in your life the brook has dried up in your life. Maybe the job has ended. Maybe the money has stopped coming. Maybe the social distances has stopped you from seeing your friends. Maybe your hope has dried up. Your health care isn't there. things have dried up in your life too. What do you do when the brook dries up in your life? Relationally and emotionally and economically or whatever. You do three things that the scripture teaches us. There are three reasons why the brook dries up in your life, and you need to know this because it's going to happen more than once. It's going to happen over and over in your lifetime. First, brooks dry up to keep us from depending on the brook. That's the first reason. You see, brooks dry up in your life to keep you from depending on worldly water instead of God's living water. It would have been very easy for Elijah to just forget God and focus on the birds and the brook, because they were what was supplying his need. And pretty soon, if you depend on a bird every day to drop food down to you, then week after week and month after month, pretty soon you're not thinking about God and realizing where you're actually getting your supply. All you're thinking about is, now will the bird be on time? So God says, whatever you're trusting in, if it's not me, I'm going to turn it off. I've been trusting in my job for my security. Well, that just might get turned off. I've been trusting in my health. Well, that might just get turned off. I've been trusting in an easy life of freedom and mobility. Well, that might just get turned off. God says, you must trust in me. And anything you put before me is a false god. It's an idol. So we need to ask, what has become the bird and the brook in our lives? It's whatever we're looking for to give us security and to give us happiness. Maybe your family. Maybe your job. Maybe your money. Maybe your activities. It may be your health care. It's when you're looking to something besides God to meet your needs. We have this thought that when God gives us good things, and God has been good to us, that he has no right to take it back. And that's nonsense, because God is God, and he knows what's best for us. He has the right to give and to take it away. That is, if he loves us, he will. When God gives us something and then it's taken away, we start getting mad at God. We start thinking that we're being treated unfairly. And we even say that God is unfair sometimes. But no gift God gives on earth is eternal. Every gift that we have has been temporarily given to us for us to manage, except eternal life. That's the gift God wants you to have more than any gift. And I need to ask you this morning, do you have that gift? The most precious gift that God wants you to have today. First thing to remember is that the brook dries up so we don't depend on the brook. And the second reason brooks dry up is to move us to a better place in our life. God had no intention of leaving Elijah in the ravine, in that place of separation for the rest of his life. It was simply a one-year temporary stay-at-home for reflection time experience. He was protecting Elijah while there was a bounty on his head and the enemy was out to get him. And in a lot of ways, we're being told to stay at home to protect us from that which is out to get us. But God didn't intend for Elijah to stay in that ravine for the rest of his life. God intended for him and for you to live in a place where He will be present with you. God wants to be with you. We get very complacent about the activities and routines of our life. Let's admit it. As long as the brook was bubbling and the birds were bringing food, Elijah wasn't going to move anywhere. And sometimes God dries up stuff in your life to move you forward, to move you on. God wants to move you to a new place in your life. God doesn't want you to be the same place you were last year or the year before. God wants you to grow in your spirit and grow in your faith and grow in your strength before God. And so sometimes God dries up stuff in your life so that you will move forward. God wants to move you to a new place in your life. God, we often think it's bad when the brook dries up. But yet that could be the best thing that has happened to you. How many times has something you thought was bad actually turned out to be good in your life? What you thought was going to destroy you actually develops you. Sometimes God turns off the water supply, the supply of what we're trusting in, because God's saying, I want you to move to a new place in your life. Let me ask you, where is God wanting to move you to? What is God wanting you to experience new? Because God knows that would be good for your life. Remember, first, God often dries up the brook in your life to keep you from depending on the brook instead of Him. And second, He dries up the brook to move you to a better place in your life rather than just letting you remain as you are. And here's the last point I want to make. And the third reason brooks dry up is to prove that God is God and that God has a miracle waiting for you. The first test of Elijah's faith is in the ravine, to stop depending on the brook. The second test of faith is when Elijah decides to get going, to go to a better place. And the third test of Elijah's faith will be an encounter with God. In verses 8 and 9, it says, So then the Lord said to Elijah, Now get up and go to Zarephath and live there. And I prepared a widow there in Zarephath to take care of you. So Elijah obeys. He went to Zarephath. And God says, Now, Elijah, get ready for your miracle. And God says, When you get to Zarephath, I'm going to have a poor widow take care of you. And Elijah's scratching his head and he's thinking, A poor widow? What's that? She couldn't defend me or protect me, much less even feed me. She's a poor widow. Why did God choose a very poor widow? This is a test of faith. When you're running out of everything and you're scared to death, all you can do in times like that is to pray, Oh Lord, we need a miracle. Miracles never happen in your comfort zone. When everything's going great, when everything's convenient, you don't need a miracle when everything is settled in your life. You only need a miracle when you're on the edge, when you're scared to death, when you need help. Are you at a place right now in your life where you could use a miracle? Do you need God? God's help? God does miracles in ways that we don't understand. Why? God says in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are completely different from yours. My ways are far beyond anything you can imagine." The way you want to meet the needs in your life is not the way God wants to meet your needs. Your way of doing things is second best at the most. But God's way is the best, always. God is God and you're not. And so if you don't listen to God, trust me, we're going to be in trouble. You don't have to try to figure it out. Why does God do it this way? Why? How is it going to happen? You don't need to figure it out. You just need to have faith. You just have to trust God. I don't know how God is going to do it, but He's going to do it the way that is best for my life. Every time God does a miracle, God gives a command, and He tells you to do something. And then He gives you a promise, and He says, if you will do what I told you to do, then I'm going to give you this promise. And so you take the risk. You step out in faith. You probably don't understand it. It doesn't necessarily make sense. But God says, I give the command, here's the promise, now you take the risk, and then the miracle comes. Then comes the fulfillment. Then comes the answer that God has for you. Listen. Here's from the Word of God that we read this morning. When Elijah reached the town gate, he asked a widow to please bring me a drink of water and a small piece of bread too. And the woman answered, I swear I have no bread. I only have a handful of flour left in a small jar and I only have a little olive oil left in a jug. I came here to gather some wood so I could go home and cook our last meal. My son and I will eat it and then we're going to die because of hunger. Can you imagine Elijah's thinking, Lord, you're sending me to a woman who doesn't even have enough food for her own family. She's got one meal left and you're asking me to ask her to give it to me. This is illogical. This is a test. The test is, do you believe God and what He tells you to do? Or are you trusting and believing in yourself, what you think's best? Do you believe you're smarter than God, or do you believe God will fulfill what He says, even when it doesn't make sense? Do you trust Him? Then here's what Elijah says. He says, woman, you go home and you take whatever you've got and you don't have much left and I want you to give it to me. God wants you to give it to me. And then he says, you cook something for yourself and your son. And God says, here's the promise. I assure you, if you will do what I'm telling you to do, then the jar of flour will never be empty and the jug of oil will never run out until the day I send rain in the land. In other words, he says God will supremely, supernaturally replenish your flour and oil. You're never going to run out. You're never going to be lack of a reserve. If you'll do what I tell you to do that God has told me to tell you, and this is a promise from God. And when Elijah obeyed God, God took care of everything else. Now look back at what God did for Elijah. Elijah, I command you to go to Ahab, and I want you to tell him this. And if you do, I promise to take care of you. And he did. Then God said, I command you, Elijah, to go to the brook Cherith, And if you do, I'll take care of you with birds and the water from the brook. And he did. And then he said, I command you to go on a journey through the worst part of the nation where they want to kill you. And if you do it, I promise I'll take care of you. And he did. And God said, I command you to go to Zarephath and find this little widow and say this. And he did it. And God took care of him. Brothers and sisters, do you think God can take care of you? Do you think God is asking you to do anything this morning? God wants to teach you about faith. God doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need your time. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your effort. God has everything. But God wants to teach you to be like Him. He wants to teach you to trust Him. It's a test of faith. God says, I want your heart. And brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, are you ready to receive your miracle? Are you ready to receive your miracle this morning? The Bible says that my God will meet all of your needs according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And as I said, notice that God doesn't say that I will meet all your greed. God said, I will meet all of your needs in Christ Jesus. So are you ready for a miracle? God is going to tell you to do something, and He has a promise to fulfill for you if you do it. If you take the risk, if you step out in faith, you probably won't understand what He's asking you, not all of it. It may not make sense at all. But God says, I give the command, here is the promise, now you take the risk. And if you do, then comes the miracle, then comes the fulfillment, then comes the answer that your heart and your life is longing for. Are you ready? Are you ready for your miracle? Okay. God is saying to you this morning, I love you. I love you with a love that you don't even understand. I sent my Son to the cross to die for your sins. And if you will accept Him as the gift I am giving you, I will give you a new life. My promise is that I will make all things new in your life. And more than that, I will give you eternal life. This is a miracle God is saying that I want you to have. And I want you to have it now. Would you pray with me? Brothers and sisters, thank you for being here this morning. And I'm going to ask you if you would pray this prayer in your heart. If you would pray this. Dear God, today I realize that there are things that I'm lacking in my life. Thank you that you want to keep me from depending on the brook. Forgive me for when I'm dependent on my job or other people instead of you. Thank you that when the brook dries up, you want to move me to a better place. It's not to make my life hard or difficult. Thank you that you haven't forgotten me, but that you love me this way. Thank you, Lord. In these days ahead, which may seem a little scary sometimes, help me. Help me to realize that the path to a miracle is through uncomfortable times. That you're stretching my faith and that I may not figure it out. And maybe I should just trust you. You told me what to do and it doesn't always make sense, but help me to take the risk. Help me to remember that you're all I need, and that when you guide, you'll provide. Jesus Christ, I want to open my life to you. I want to learn to trust you one day at a time. I want to go your way, not my way. I want to follow you and ask you to save me and come into my life. And I want to claim the promise that you have given, that if I trust you, you'll meet my needs, that I will have the miracle that I have been praying for. And I ask all this today in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
The time is now to open your eyes and see what's inside you. The time is now to raise up your voice and sing of His glory. Sing of His glory.
The time is now.
And sing of His glory. Thoughts of our Lord and His sacrifice bring feelings of overwhelming gratitude to my heart. The time is now to open your eyes and see what's inside you. The time is now to raise up your voice and sing of His glory. Sing of His glory.